Well, hello there. Welcome along to the RT Soccer Podcast. Coming up, Declan Devine, the Derry City manager, on building a new-look squad around the Brandywell. We'll also be chatting to the Athlone Town gaffer, Adrian Carberry. Pat Fenlon is with us, and also James O'Toole. James, how are you?
Not too bad, Adrian. How are you today?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. Keeping going, as they say. And Pat Fenlon, Pat, you must be in good form. 5 points clear at the top of the Irish Premiership. A very good win over Larne on Friday night.
Yeah, absolutely. In good form today. It was a big win last night. Played really, really well. You know, after probably a bit of a stutter with two performances, we probably could have won the two games. We lost one and drew one, but really good performance last night. Played really well, like I say, against a decent Larne team. So, yeah, good 3 points for us to get us back going again.
Yeah, how tough has the season been so far?
Yeah, listen, it's tough for everybody. We're playing football, I suppose. That's the main thing. Obviously, nobody attending the games, but we're getting through games. And we obviously had a bit of interruption with the weather as well. So, there's a lot of football coming thick and fast for the players. It's nearly Tuesday, Friday. So we play 3 games in 6 days. You know, so last night was a big win for us on the back of playing, you know, Coleraine, Glentoran and Larne. 3 tough games in 6 days. So, but it's good to be playing. I think that's the main thing. The players all love playing. So it's difficult for everybody at the moment.
Okay, lots to chat about on the RT Soccer Podcast, including, Pat, the appointment of Anthony Barry as a coach to the Irish setup under Stephen Kenny. He replaces Damien Duff in that role. A lot of us wouldn't be aware of Anthony Barry. I'm sure he's going to be called Anto Barry very soon. But clearly, he comes very highly regarded, doesn't he? Because he's a coach at Chelsea. You know, he came in under Frank Lampard and is still there under Tuchel now, and generally has forged a very good reputation as a coach.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know a lot about him. I know he worked under Paul Cook for a period of time, but like you say, he's at a massive club in England and coaching at a really high level, so he's a good addition to the squad. Obviously, it was a disaster to lose Damien Duff, because Damien is a top coach as well, and obviously lots known about Damien here. With Anthony, not so much, but it gives him a chance to bet in. But like I say, he's coaching at a really high level, and that's obviously what Stephen was looking forward to add to his staff.
Okay, all right. Thanks for your thoughts on that. More from Pat in due course. So then, Watch LOI will return to your laptop screens in due course. The RTFAI service was introduced last July as a means for fans to watch their teams, given that matches were being played behind closed doors. And that's also the scenario facing football in 2021. It certainly appears right now. There was some doubt about the return of Watch LOI, but announcement, of course, was made during the week confirming it will return until midsummer. RT Sport will screen 60-plus Premier Division matches across RTE TV and also via Watch LOI on the platform and on watchloi.ie right up until the mid-season break in June. And LOI TV will stream all matches across the SSE Airtricity First Division and, of course, through the Women's National League as well, with, interestingly, artificial intelligence cameras to be installed in every ground ahead of the season. The group head of RTE Sport, Declan McBennett, is with us. And I think, Declan, in general, you know, most fans of League of Ireland football and indeed First Division fans will be delighted to see the rollout of cameras at grounds and in terms of the Premier Division, Watch LOI returning and a commitment again to screen matches on RTE2 television. But can you just clarify the scenario that we're facing? Post-June, what happens? We'll come back to Watch LOI and its role, but post-June, no Watch LOI, no Soccer Republic. So is it a case of that it's good news for the domestic game in terms of RTE and online coverage until midsummer, and then after that, not so good?
Well, the key with it, Adrian, is for the first 70 games of the season that takes us up to the mid-season break, which is the first 14 rounds with 5 games in every round. So the first 70 games, and that takes us to the end of May, beginning of June. At which point, depending on vaccination across the board, we don't know whether people will be allowed back into grounds, whether there will be a percentage of attendance involved or otherwise. At that stage, RTE will have a particular focus on the Euros if they go ahead, and then they lead into the Olympics and into the Paralympics. So what we agreed with the FAI was that RTE Watch LOI, as fans would know it from last season, would continue up until the mid-season break. And after that, the Pixelot cameras, which are run by FAI, would take over the Watch LOI service. So Watch LOI will continue. People will still be able to access the games via the same portal, via their Watch LOI, but it won't be RTE cameras that will be involved in that stage. It will be the FAI Pixelot cameras that will be bringing coverage.
Okay, so RTE steps back in terms of the online coverage post the Euros.
Yes. Yeah, that's correct. As soon as we get to the mid-season break and the Euros begin, then our focus shifts towards the Euros. And as I say, hopefully the country will be in a different place at that stage. So we may be in a position whereby a percentage of fans may be able to get back into the grounds. And if they're not, they will be served by the FAI via the Pixelot cameras.
OK. Last year, Declan Gary Owens, who was then the FAI interim CEO in relation to Watch LOI, said the figures were, quote, disappointingly low. Were you very disappointed with the figures? And can you perhaps elaborate on the figures that were involved? Some suggestions, 11,000 in terms of the buy-up of Watch LOI. Can you give us more concrete figures? And were you disappointed by the take-up?
OK. Two parts to that, Adrian. For obvious reasons, and there have been figures floating about that were published in the Irish Independent a number of weeks ago, we don't comment on the figures, but it's fair to say that the figures that were used, most of the figures that were used in that article, were not a million miles off what we thought what was the actual result. In terms of where we disappointed with the figures, no, we weren't, because we had very realistic expectations as to what the nature of the figures were. These figures are not generally plucked out of thin air. There is a reason for them. Gary expressed his disappointment. If you go back to the start of Watch LOI, people have to remember what Watch LOI was. It was deemed at the time to be a 2020 solution to a 2020 problem. Essentially, it is a COVID solution to a COVID problem. What Watch LOI did was bring games to people who couldn't attend them. The initial conversation that took place between myself and Niall Quinn, we spoke about doing round about 40 to 45 games. By the time we reached heads of agreement and the contract with the FAI, the contract allowed for 65 matches. We actually ended up doing 83 matches because we made a greater commitment to the Cup, and another broadcaster that was due to do some of the matches didn't subsequently do those. So RTE stepped in and put them on the Watch LOI service. So last year, Watch LOI actually ended up carrying 83 matches. Now, in truth, there were major problems with two of those matches, both of which involved Cork. So in truth, there were 81 games broadcast and there were problems with two other matches. So 81 matches that were solid, two matches that had issues but went to air, and two matches that didn't because one camera sat down and one encoder sat down. And those people who are familiar with soccer will see that Amazon had a problem with a Newcastle match a number of months ago. So these things happen as the nature of streaming evolves. So we did 83 matches. We had realistic expectations as to what those numbers would be based on the numbers that watched LOI on television, based on those figures across a number of years, and based on the number of season ticket holders that were already accounted for. Not everybody will engage. I think the FAI had greater expectations and they weren't realised. And I think the FAI, Gary was indicating that towards the time. Niall Quinn has also subsequently said that his desire was that there would have been greater marketing behind Watch LOI, but they didn't have the marketing budget that allowed for that. So the figures are what they are. And Jonathan Hill, the new CEO within the FAI, has indicated that he was quite pleased with those figures because he views it as a building block on which to build greater momentum going forward.
And would you agree it was poorly marketed? And that perhaps now pulling the plug on it after a year on the part of RTE might show a lack of ambition to make it succeed. Because when you look at figures, you know, for streaming services in today's Irish Independent, and it's in relation to Gaelic games, but the Galway County Board taking in somewhere in the region of €185,000 from streaming of their club games, the potential in streaming seems huge. And yet it would appear that RTE may be will be walking away from the streaming market.
I don't agree that RTE are walking away in any way, Adrian. As I said, we made a commitment to do 65 games last season. We ended up doing 83. We subsequently agreed a broadcast deal with the FAI. And this season alone, we will be involved in excess of 60 up to 70 games. So we're not in any way walking away. The original idea of Watch LOI actually came from two conversations that I had on the same day, one involving GAA Go and one involving Niall Quinn. The idea was subsequently taken to RTE and approved. It was taken to the GAA and then approved, and then it went back to the FAI and was approved. And two progressive individuals in each of the three organisations came together. There were six people involved in the launch of Watch LOI. and it did exactly what it was designed to do, which was to bring games to people who couldn't attend. And it did that very, very successfully, as I say, across 81 or 83 games, depending on which way you want to look at it. And we have committed to the second season as well. So how many people buy a pass, how many people buy a pay-per-game, how many people get engaged in the streaming is a matter for the clubs and a matter for the League of Ireland in itself. I know Niall Quinn was and Gary Owens at the time were particularly anxious that the footballing family, the broader Irish footballing family, would engage with Watch LOI. In truth, that didn't happen. You know, Finn Harps fans did not watch Bowes games. Bowes fans did not watch Sligo Rovers games. Sligo Rovers games fans did not watch Waterford games. The idea that the staggered kickoff times would allow people to engage across all the games on a weekend simply did not manifest itself. So some of the season ticket holders did not engage with Watch LOI. So whether you look at how you judge the success of Watch LOI depends on what your perspective is. From an RTE perspective, it worked extremely well because it served exactly the purpose that it set out to do. It brought people games that they would not have seen because they could not attend and no other service was in a position to provide them. So from RTE's perspective, we did, not only did we do what we said we would do, we did over and above that because, as I say, the number of games moved from 45 to 65 to eventually 83, allowing for the two that didn't take place, so 81 games. And a commitment again this year to do between Watch LOI and televised games, we will have 60 games done by the time the mid-season break gets there. So it's a huge commitment, and it means that every footballing fan who wants to engage with the League of Ireland has the opportunity to do that.
Declan, in the past, it was, and you will be aware of this because you had to answer the charge, so to speak, before that at the launch of Watch LOI, that, you know, you said there's no excuses here. If this takes off, great for everybody. If it doesn't and the numbers are not significant, then there are lessons there for everybody as well. So some people interpreted those comments from you that perhaps you doubted the viability of Watch LOI from the get-go. How would you respond to that?
I'm not concerned about the viability because we're not involved in the commercial element of Watch LOI.
But the success, I mean the success of it in general.
Yeah, the success of it, absolutely. But as I said just to the previous question, the success is defined in a different way by different individuals depending on where you're coming at this from. The basic success, as I say, the idea of Watch LOI, I've heard this repeatedly, that RTE is not committed to the league, RTE is somehow undermining the league. I'm acutely aware of the shortcomings of Watch LOI. I've had them, we know them, they've been articulated to me, I've had fans contact me directly. So if we want to look at Watch LOI, people will say, well, there should have been more cameras on it. There should have been replays on every game. There should have been co-commentators. There should have been pre-match, halftime, and post-match analysis. That's not a streaming service. That's a television production. And the reality of it is, in relation to the co-coms had particular social distancing issues last year, which everybody were aware of. The contract that we entered into was to put one camera on every single game so that every single game was covered. We started off with additional cameras on those games. We made a greater commitment. However, I'm also charged with spending public money. And we have to have a scenario whereby you cannot continue to spend public money for a very, very small audience. So every game was covered. Many games were covered with additional cameras. But if you're going to put additional cameras and EVS replays and co-commentators and pre-match, halftime, and post-match analysis, you're now into television production. Television production is extremely expensive. But let me answer your question this way, Adrian. The Watch LOI service came from RTE, came directly from me, together with one other individual in RTE, two progressive individuals in Croke Park, and two progressive individuals in the FAI initially, Niall Quinn and Gary Owens. That's where Watch LOI came from. RTE has consistently and continuously backed the League of Ireland. There are five broadcasters in the Republic of Ireland. Some of those broadcasters have never engaged with the League of Ireland and certainly haven't engaged in recent times. Others have engaged and diluted their commitment. RTE has never diluted its commitment. It's increasingly increased its commitment. As I say, again, 45 was the initial discussion. 65 was in the contract. 81 was the number of games that we covered. And we're back again doing it this season. So those people who say that we're not committed, or as has been alleged to directly to me via social media, in other words, that I was setting this up to fail, that bears no resemblance to the actual factual evidence that is there. We provided a service. We continue to provide that service. We hope that people engage with it. Of course, we want people to engage with it in bigger numbers. So do the FAI. The marketing budget that was within the remit of the FAI, and Niall Quinn has openly said they simply, because of the wider financial situation, did not have the money to invest in it. They wanted the Irish footballing family to get behind Watch LOI. That to date has not happened. But I refer to the point that Jonathan Hill has said that he is encouraged by the numbers, that there is the basis there to grow the numbers. So if the numbers continue to grow, that's brilliant for the FAI. It's brilliant for everybody involved in the league. It's brilliant for everybody who wants to see those games. You know, I read the articles whereby Scottish managers were watching LOI, buying passes so they could see the talent that was available within the League of Ireland. That people abroad, there was engagement from abroad. But the level of engagement has to be such that it generates sufficient interest and drives more people to engage with Watch LOI, to the point whereby people are not allowed or it's not possible for them to go and attend matches.
How expensive is it in its basic form without replays and co-commentators and just single camera? I don't know if you can go into the commercial sensitivities of it, but can you give us kind of a broad figure in terms of what one would expect to have to pay to provide that kind of service?
For obvious reasons, Adrian, I can't, and that's not being coy, and it's not being evasive of the question. You can take it that it's a multiple six-figure sum that we invest, which we have always done throughout the course of Monday Night Soccer and Soccer Republic, and engaging with it. But remember, Adrian, we were able to do that last year because it was effectively an 18-game season. That was where five rounds had been played, so 25 matches had been played prior to COVID coming on the Irish landscape, and the world has changed since COVID arrived. So there were 13 rounds left after when the season resumed, and I think there were three outstanding matches. So it was 13 by 5, 65 plus the three outstanding matches, around about 68 matches that were due to be played. We did additional cup games and they continued. But that was across an 18-round season, not a 27 or a 36, all of which have been obviously on the table from an FAI perspective because of the nature of what COVID did and how it completely turned sport on its head. So if you replicate that across a 36-round season with five games in every round and 180 games, you see how expensive it is to cover games in the absence of crowds. There is a public service remit there for RTE to bring the games to people. We absolutely, over and above, fulfilled that remit in COVID times, and we will continue to do that. And that's why we have made the commitment to the FAI and to the League of Ireland, to the League of Ireland fans, that we will do that up until the midsummer break.
And do you think clubs can make money from streaming the matches themselves? I know that's really a debate or a conversation to be had between the FAI and the clubs themselves. But as a TV person, is the potential there for clubs to make the kind of money, certainly in the absence of crowds, that would justify investing in streaming?
I think that's a very, very broad discussion, Adrian, which it won't be possible to cover entirely on the basis of this. But what I would say is, you know, people will point to the GAA and to county boards engaging, and some of them made money. Some of the quality of those ranged from extremely good to extremely poor, and by the nature of those streaming. So if one club wants to stream their games, does that mean if you're a fan of club A, but your games are all streamed? But if you're a fan of clubs B, C, D, E and F, you have to go and buy an individual subscription every time your club plays at a different venue. So if you're a Waterford supporter, you have to buy into the Bows game. You have to buy into the Sligo game. You have to buy into the Finn Harps game, Dundalk, Pats, et cetera, across the board. what you have to remember is last season, the Watch LOI pass was, I think, €55, if I'm not mistaken, for what turned out to be 83 games. Like,
the
value
was not
an issue. The price is not an issue for me, Adrian, with respect, because that's not something that we engage in. That's a matter for the FAI and for the clubs. It's not a matter for RTE to engage on what level a particular streaming service is made available to customers for. That's nothing to do with us. But what I would say is...
But you're shipping a lot of the costs, aren't you?
We are, but that's the nature of the public service that we do, because we would have covered those games naturally last year for Soccer Republic or previously Monday Night Soccer, and what it allowed us to do. But streaming games live is a more expensive production than recording games and putting them out in the highlights form a number of days later. So again, but what I will say about the price that was charged last season was €55 for 83 games is exceedingly good value, no matter what way you look at it. If you engage only on your own club, and that's 13 games, then it's still less than a fiver a go for a game that you can't travel to. So if you were traveling, if you were a season ticket holder, remember, you got your pass. If you were traveling to a game, buying your ticket, buying your food at the game, traveling back, everything that goes involved with the game, the merchandise, et cetera, all of that was brought to you in terms of the game itself was brought to you for €55. So I don't think the price can be pointed to as a particular reason why people didn't engage. Or you could obviously go on a pay-per-game scenario at €5 a go. So there was certainly value there for those who engaged. And as I say, some people watched multiple games, but most people only watched their own individual club. And that was the nature of a streaming service.
Okay. No Soccer Republic from now on?
No Soccer Republic from now on. Essentially for two reasons, Adrian. Number one, we know and everything points us to the fact that people are now, since the advent of digital, particularly over the course of the last 10 years, there are two ways to consume sport primarily. There is live, which is the preferred option for so many people, for 90% of the audience. And then there is social or digital. So people will see the goals immediately. If you go back 2, 3, 4, 5 seasons, one of the things that the clubs wanted was instant access to their goals so they could make them available to their supporters and their fans immediately. And RTE made that available and made that possible. And all the clubs had access to those goals. So with two exceptions that I can think of, highlights never do as well and continue to decline as a means of people engaging with games. Those two exceptions are Match of the Day, which obviously still has a multi-million persona following in the UK, and the Sunday Game, which is a blue chip product from an RTE perspective, whereby people still come and still engage with Match of the Day on a Saturday night and the Sunday Game on a Sunday night. But in general, the overwhelming evidence points to the fact that people engage with sport in a live context or now in a digital context, whereby they will watch the goals or they will watch 2.5 minutes of highlights on social. So a highlights program with a small audience is no longer feasible from a League of Ireland perspective. And we have to decide at a time whereby the FAI have particular financial concerns, RTE have well-documented financial concerns, we have to decide what the best use of reduced financial resources are. And we are absolutely adamant and categoric that the best use of those resources is in the provision of live sport to people. Therefore, we take the money that is available to us and we help with the production of Watch LOI and the stream that involves Watch LOI. And that's what allows us to do 81 games last year, will allow us to do close to 60 games this season, and will allow us to provide people immediately, straight away, into the comfort of their own living room, live League of Ireland soccer.
Yeah, but the demise of Soccer Republic, Declan, means that there's no dedicated football programme on RTE television now. I mean, GA has the Sunday Game, rugby has Against the Head. Obviously, there's Champions League football on RTE television, but the domestic game come July or August, apart from the live games, will have no home as such, no weekly home to discuss the issues that might arise.
Yeah, that's correct, Adrian. And as I say, the reason for that is twofold, because of the numbers that we're engaging with Soccer Republic, which had been declining, as is the case with most highlights program over a number of years. But also the fact that when you have to deal with scarce resources and reduced resources, you have decisions to make. And RTE had a decision to make, and I have a decision to make, which is the best way to engage with the fans and which is the best way to get League of Ireland Soccer to people. And certainly in a COVID environment, there is undoubtedly and unquestionably the best way to do that is to bring them live games so that you can sit down on a Friday evening or a Saturday or potentially a Sunday, where the vast majority of games will be played on Fridays and Saturdays. You can engage with your club and you can see it immediately in front of your eyes. That's what people have made the decision on. Their decision influences our decision, Adrian, not the other way around. If the highlights programs were doing extremely well, we'd continue with the highlights programs. But if the highlights programs are not drawing in a viewership, then you have to say, OK, what is the best use of our resources here? What do the fans want? And the fans, undoubtedly, across all sports and all codes, they want live sport and then they want digital access to the key moments, whether that's goals, yellow cards, sending offs, controversial incidents, or whatever the case may be. The fans make their decisions and the audience drives what broadcasters do.
Will the Friday night games that are live, will they have highlights of the other games from that particular evening?
The games, yes. So the understanding is that the games that take place on a Friday evening will take place at 5:45 and 7:45, particularly in a COVID context. And those live games will automatically have the goals from the games that are taking place either just prior to that game or in conjunction with that game. So if there's two 7:45 kickoffs, the goals from the second 7:45 kickoff that is not going out on live television will be available, as has been the case for the last two seasons on RT2 with Peter, Tony and the team. And you've been involved in that yourself, Adrian.
OK, and just a question, and I know it's not your baby, but LOI TV that will screen the First Division matches and the Women's National League matches, which is great. But those Pixelot cameras, I mean, people have been critical about them in the past, given that there was an incident in Scotland a few months ago involving, well, let's just say it wasn't straightforward. But the quality of those pictures, again, as I say, I know it's not your particular area in terms of, you know, it's not an RTE facility that's emerging. But the quality of those cameras in terms of fans, you know, is it good quality?
To be perfectly honest, Adrian, I'm not overly familiar. I've seen examples. Some of them have worked well. But Pixelot is not an experiment or an engagement or a production outlet that we're involved with. We work in a particular way. That's what Watch LOI was last season. People will have judged the quality of the games that we provided via the RTE cameras. Pixelot is something that the FAI have engaged with. So those questions are better directed towards the FAI.
All right. Listen, many thanks, Declan McBennett, Group Head of RTE Sports, for joining us on the line to discuss all things Watch LOI and the future of coverage in this country of League of Ireland football. James O'Toole. James has been listening in. James, I feel kind of, you know, you're there. You've been involved with Soccer Republic right from the get-go, back to its days as M&S Monday Night Soccer. So must be very hard for you this week hearing the news that it would not be returning.
Yeah, it was. I will tell you the truth, Adrian. As Declan mentioned there, the figures have been dropping off a cliff over the last number of years. You've seen the rollback from a studio based show to a pure highlight based show over the last two seasons, and it was just dropping off and dropping off. Like I put a tweet out the other day about it, about how it eventually has come to an end, and more people have engaged with that tweet than have watched the show since probably 2008. So it's just a bit odd. As Declan mentioned, like, people always say, oh yeah, we're going to engage with this, but they generally don't. So there's a certain, I mentioned this last year, I think early last year on the podcast, when we had people in talking from the FEI about there's a certain audience of League of Ireland fans, and it is what it is, and it's not going to go above that unless there's some major, major marketing put in place. And we've heard about this marketing budget coming in. Hopefully that helps with this. The Watch LOI, we know what we're going to get. I'm a bit apprehensive about what happens after RTE step away in June, to tell you the truth, bar the live games.
Go on, hi.
I'm not too sure how this Pixelot is going to work. Like, we've seen it work in Scotland, but there's a major, major difference between Scotland, Scottish football it's working in, and what we have here. And the major difference is that every single pitch it's been used on is well lit. The floodlights have every inch of the pitch covered. Here in Ireland, there's only a couple of pitches that use floodlights, and the rest of them seem to use candle lights. They're so dark, I'm not too sure how good it's going to work. I think from an FEI point of view, I probably would have kind of done some kind of beta testing on this for the first week or two and see how it worked, and then rolled it out. But, like, fingers crossed it works. But, like, the issues I'm thinking of is the likes of P-Mount United, for instance, in the Women's National League. Getting a camera on a gantry, which is a scaffolding out in their ground in Green Oak, is hard enough. But if you're going to put up one of these fixed AI cameras and have it powered from somewhere as well, now there's a floodlight box just behind their pitch, so maybe that's where they power it from. But it's very, very difficult to see it working perfectly straight off the bat, I have to say. And I think people need to be patient with it, because I can see some issues coming down the line with it.
Pass from, from a spectator's point of view, all fans, like, basically, they just want to see their team playing. And obviously, fans not allowed into grounds. So, you know, it's crucial that fans have access to be able to watch their teams play, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it is. But, I mean, Declan spoke a lot of sense as well. You know, if it's not viable, then you can't continue with that. You know, what's interesting from me is that, you know, before COVID hit, you know, League of Ireland attendances were improving drastically in a lot of the grounds. I know, a lot of the Dublin teams had improved, and I think even around the country, the gates were up. And I think that was down to a lot of marketing from the clubs themselves. So we've always had the issue about marketing for League of Ireland. And now we're at a situation, you know, if people are not willing to watch the games, there is no point, you know. And I do agree with Declan's point about, you know, that people have so much access. They want to see things quickly now. They see the goals, you know, whether that's on Twitter or Facebook or whatever the case may be, they see them. And that's really what they want to see. They want to see things live, you know, and that's obviously why the attendance have dropped off in relation to Monday Night Soccer or Soccer Republic. So it is disappointing. And realistically, we do want the supporters to see their games, and in fairness, I think that they've tried to do that and it just hasn't worked out. So it's back to the drawing board. I know from my own experience at Linfield at the moment that we're in a similar situation that, we do have BBC that cover our games and BBC stream games, but we also have, there are live games. Our next three home games, for instance, are live, that we take on Linfield TV that we stream ourselves. Our last game against Glentoran was streamed live. We had nearly 1,700 people watch that game, you know. So there's not money to be made what I see so far and looking at the figures from Ireland, but it is a service to our supporters. It doesn't cost us money and it is a good service to our supporters, and it's done really well from the Linfield TV production crew. So it is a conundrum that we've sort of been forced into, it just takes, I don't think there's any point in, you know, giving up. And I think we've got to, you know, sit down and see how it can be made better and see what, you know, access we can give to supporters. Because at the moment, it's the genuine fans who will suffer if there is no coverage of games.
Yeah, and hopefully there'll come a day very soon when fans are allowed back into grounds. But, that may be, a little way off just yet. But would you be worried about the future in terms of fans getting out of the habit of going to games that because of streams or Watch LOI or LOI TV or whatever it might be, that eventually they just become just satisfied maybe to watch a match on a laptop as opposed to going and experience the match night experience? Would you be worried about that?
No, I don't think I'm worried about it. I think people will always want to be at live sporting occasions. I think that's what, you know, we are adrenaline junkies at times, and that's what we want, and we want to get out to games. And I think once attendance is allowed back in, I think you'll see the figures creep back up fairly quickly. Like I said, there was a big increase in the League of Ireland, and that's down to the marketing of the clubs. I think it goes back to the same scenario that we spoke about for a long, long time. How do we market our game? You know, how does the association market in the league? you know, it's poor at the moment. I know there's talk that's going to improve and hopefully it does do, but up till now it's been really, really poor. You know, the clubs have been left to do that themselves, and they should, you know, they should obviously market their own club, which I think they are doing quite well. But as a league, we've got to market our game better and try to drive people in through the turnstiles once we can come back in to watch the games.
Well, Declan Devine, the Derry City manager, is with us on the RT Soccer Podcast. Declan, I imagine you, like everybody else, you'd love to have a heaving Brandywell on a Friday night. And given the way that the vaccination programme, the rollout is going in the north, you may well have fans on the ground on a Friday night pretty soon, by the sounds of things. Hopefully.
And Adrian, but listen, I think everybody's singing off the same hymn sheet. Football just isn't the same without our supporters. You know, it doesn't matter if it's in the Brandywell, Tala, Dundalk, wherever. I think you have to be, the atmosphere that's been generated at the games has been non-existent because obviously there's nobody there. We came in, when we first came in, we wanted to get the place full again, and we were able to do that. And then for it to be wiped away from us, you know, was so disappointing. But look, hopefully we're over the worst of it. Hopefully the positive signs are that things are turning. And even if it is a case that we have to look forward to midsummer, then I would be over the moon knowing that we're going to have supporters back in the game again.
Yeah. Do you think it impacted on your team, you know, playing home games in front of empty stands last season?
No, I think if we reflect on last season, it wasn't good enough. I think, obviously, if you had fans on, it might have helped us a bit. But, you know, I think we got certain things wrong last year. We have to be the first to admit that. As a football club, you know, we've got to be doing better than what our league performances were last year. We just found it extremely hard to get going. We had a mixed bag to start with. We lost in the last minute to Dundalk. We drew with Van Harps in the Brandywell on a terrible night. We beat Bohemians in the Brandywell, and we lost their last minute goal down in Waterford. When we came back, it was very difficult in terms of having a team spirit, having an ethos about us, because we were like a bunch of strangers. We weren't able to change in a changing facility like everyone else, but we felt that we'd never really got the group. We never really got the group bonded and tight, and that, in my opinion, had a big part in our performances. And you know, whenever you're building a team with so many new players every year, I think it's key that they actually all get on, they get to know each other well. And that was a difficulty for us last year, that we couldn't bring the team together. But look, we got to look forward now. We have made a few signings this season. The one thing I'll say is the ambience of the group this year, it's like night and day compared to last year. So hopefully that can transcend on the good performances and good results.
Yeah, Declan, you're kind of upset by the different health and safety rules north and south really last year, because where clubs in the south were one or two players, no contact, whereas you guys were completely locked down twice, I think, because of one close contact. So that didn't help you either last year, really, did it?
It was really difficult, James. It was, you know, we had one case, and then, as you say, everybody had to go into lockdown for 2 weeks. We then went, on the back of not having any training sessions, we went down and played Shamrock Rovers in Tala, and it was well documented. We lost that game and went straight to Cork. When we went to Cork, one of our players was away in under-21 duty. He then tested positive, and because we were in the changing room with him in Cork, we all had to go back into another two-week lockdown. So in the space of 5 weeks, we were locked down for 4 weeks of that. Nobody could leave the house, nobody could train, nobody could do anything. And then we had three or four games, which are important games. We wanted to do well in the FA Cup, yet we had to go into that game down in Sligo, which we lost on penalties. We won training session under our belt again. So it was a crazy, crazy year. There were so many kicks in the teeth we had to accept and get on with. But, you know, hopefully, as I say, look, we look back on it now and say, you know, hopefully we don't have to ever experience that again. The club have invested heavily this year in terms of kitting out the changing room with individual barriers and screens. So hopefully we've put policies in place that will help us never have to go back to that again.
As you said, Dec, you're having to rebuild a side again this season, and you've brought in a couple of young lads and some really good signings in order to get you some goals.
Yeah, well, I think we all had to reflect on last year. I think, you know, as a club, we've reflected over our recent history. Derry City Football Club's won two Premier titles in its history. You know, we're not used to winning league titles. We've won one First Division, two First Divisions, you know, and five FAA Cups. So we've had a constant turnover for the last 10 or 12 years of players coming on one-year deals and moving on. Like, you look at probably Dundalk this year, for instance. my first game only two seasons ago, three of the starting 11 are now at Dundalk. Greg Slaga, Peter Cherry, Junior O'Giddy. So, you know, there's been so many players. You only have to look around the league and you see so many players that have left Derry City and went on to other clubs. Where we're at the minute is we want to rebuild. We want to get a nucleus of a local-based, Irish-based team that are going to tie down to the club for the coming years, not just a quick fix of 40 weeks. So we've been able to add... You know, we've Nathan Gerkside, for instance, signed a 2-3 year deal. Owen Toole, 3 year deal. Kieran Call, 2 year deal. We're able to bring Danny Lafferty back to the club, who's been sensational in pre-season, a real good experienced player, quality player. David Parkhouse has come back in on a 3 year contract. You know, so we're trying to tie down the best of these local young players and hopefully build something that isn't just taken away from us at the end of every season. But as you say, look, I've brought on some exciting players this year. We all know Parkhouse, and it's hard to believe he's still only 21 years of age. Akin Tundy was excellent for us last year and has really come back really fit. I think Will Fitzgerald is another young player that, you know, is going to get the chance to grow again this year. I think he suits the way we play. I think he'll suit our pitch. Very technical player. And again, another player we've brought on is Will Patching, who, again, I think will be very good for us, because he's a real technician of the ball and real quality player. Obviously, well documented that we brought Joe Hodge over from Manchester City, and a young lad that we took from at Swansea recently, Mark Walsh. So we've got really good options at the minute. We're young, we're very honest, and I think this year it'll be a year where we can enjoy working with each other and try and grow and get up the table again.
Yeah, Declan, you mentioned the signings and players returning, and you mentioned there Joe Hodge, and that sounds like a very good piece of business on loan from Manchester City. But I gather he picked up a knock. Is he in danger of not being available for the start of the season now?
No, well, listen, I think what's happened with Joe is Joe's a player that needs to get games. When we were contacted about it was a no-brainer for us. The boy had a little issue with his back when he came to us from City. It was on all the records. He came and done a few training sessions. He just wasn't feeling right. So he's got a little problem with Basie's back. It should hopefully only be between 4 or 5 weeks. So, look, by the time the season starts, if he misses one or two games, then that's fine. But the one thing about Joe is his application and his attitude and his desire to be a footballer is something that you don't see in an 18-year-old player. You know, he's been really brilliant for us around the place. He's gone back to City now for a week or two to get whatever treatment he wants to get and have their specialists look at him. But we're hopeful we have him back over in a couple of weeks' time. I think he'll be a player that certainly people will look forward to watching this year.
And in terms of the fixture list as well, Declan, 4 of your opening 6 games at home at the Brandywell, your opening game away to Longford Town. But are you happy with the way the early season fixture list has fallen for you?
I think we got to be happy. Look, you've got to perform. That's the bottom line. Doesn't matter if you're playing home or away or who your opposition is. And we'll be treating everybody with the utmost respect. You know, Longford's a very difficult place. It's going to be a tough place to go on the opening night of the season. You know, but no, we're just concentrating on making sure all our fitness levels are good. We're getting our games on now. But we're all really looking forward to it. And what you want to be doing, Adrian, is you want to make sure when fans are able to come back that they're coming back and you've got points on the board and that it's a positive feeling for them coming back. So we want to make sure, you know, when we are given the opportunity to bring our supporters back, that at least we're up and running and we have a few favourable results behind us, and that has to be the goal for us.
Yeah, James, are you liking what you're hearing as a Derry fan?
I'm liking what I'm hearing. More importantly, like I've mentioned goals already, but he's already uncovered what has to be a little hidden gem in Nathan Gartside as far as goals are concerned.
Listen, it was a practice game and there was to be no press related to it, but whenever your goalkeeper scores, that's a wonderful goal. I think the young fella was entitled to be have it put out there. So, listen, you know, our top goal scorer had 4 goals last year. Our goalkeeper's already got 1 in a friendly, so we're all right. We're on the right track.
Yeah. Did you ever score for Derry, Declan, in your days as a goalkeeper?
Geez, Adrian, I was lucky to play. It was never made to score. Yeah, it was certainly something I never achieved, no. But, you know, I certainly let on a few goals in my time, but certainly wasn't ever on the score sheet.
How many kilometres have you got up in Feb?
Oh, listen, we're clocking them up well, but Look, I think everybody knows just really itching to get it going again. I think if you ask any manager, it's been a long off season, and I think now the players, we go on a daily basis. We're very fortunate that we're elite sport, we're classed as an elite sport. We're all really looking forward to the start of the season, and I can see it. My players at the moment, they're really chomping at the butt. We're travelling to Dublin tomorrow, going to play Bray down at the AUL. We play Fan Harps again this week, and we have Bohemians at the end of the week. So three really good games they look forward to this week, and you know, fingers crossed, we can start making improvements every game.
Okay, well, listen, the very best of luck with it, Declan. Many thanks for chatting to us on the RT Soccer Podcast. That's the Derry City manager, Declan Devine. Pat, the league really needs a vibrant Derry. Obviously, last year was pretty disappointing for Declan and everybody involved, finishing in seventh position. But a Derry side going well in the league really lifts all boats, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think Declan's fairly honest there. He said it wasn't good enough, didn't make excuses of COVID, and he'll know that as well, that the Derry supports are demanding. Like he said, they're probably not going to be in the shake-up to win a league, but they will expect to be challenging for Europe. I think that's the least they expect, and they've always had good runs, whether it's in the League Cup or the FAI Cup. They've always done quite well, so I think they'll want to get back to that sort of area. Again, I think what's interesting is that, you know, that turnover of player, consistently losing your best players, you know, can have a real detrimental effect to it, to a club. You know that you're bringing players through, and all of a sudden the bigger clubs are taking them. So to be getting players on 2 and 3 year contracts, I'm sure will be keen to try build something and get some momentum in the club. And what is really interesting as well for all the clubs, you know, if you have a bad start to the season, you know, and when crowds do come back, if they do come back, and when they come back, you know, if you haven't started well, that can have a massive effect in relation to, you know, what your attendance is going to be. So it's going to be an interesting start to the season, try to get points on the board early.
OK, well, in the First Division, Athlone Town gearing up for what promises to be a really intriguing First Division season. The Athlone manager, Adrian Carberry, is with us. Good of you to join us, Adrian. You too, you've been busy in the transfer market. You've signed up a few notable League of Ireland players. Are you happy with the squad you've assembled?
Good evening, guys. Yeah, Adrian, look, we felt we had to. You know, we did very well last year with the players we had. At times, we did well, I'd say. But just we were late starting, I suppose, last season, and we're left with kind of players that did very well for us, but just weren't at the level what we needed to push on. And we felt, you know, in the off season, we had a look at players that played against us and players at other clubs that had done well, or you know, and we just put a portfolio together of players we wanted to bring in that would suit us and help us to push on and get to the next stage. You know, so that's what we've done, and we decided to go early and get early before the clubs made their mark, and that's what we've done, and we've got great support, I'd say, from the board as well to go ahead and push on this route.
And tell us about some of the signings you've made.
Well, I suppose the standout ones will be, you know, Curtis Byrne, you know, had a great career to date, you know, been across water, very good with Waterford last, you know, has done very well. So we had a lot of young guys last year. We just needed a bit of experience, someone that could help us out and chip in with a few goals as well. So Curtis, it suits him, you know, he's got a job, he's working, you know, so he can, you know, out train with us as well and play as well part-time. So it kind of suits us. You know, we've other players then, like James Dunne, I suppose, being a super talented younger guy and, you know, made a couple of moves from Rovers to Pats and, you know, probably just didn't miss the ball a small bit and get more, I suppose, first team action. But we feel, you know, coming in for here into us, getting regular first team games, that will really bring him on. You know, Adam Wickstead would be the same, coming from Drogheda, another guy, superb talent and you know, exciting player as well. And that's what we want to do. We want to try and play. We want to be exciting and hopefully bring people back in the gate when they're allowed in, as the lads are saying. You know, and also another one is Killian Cantwell. You know, centre back on the team of the year for the First Division last season. He'll be a huge addition to us. And really, with Michael Singerman, who's come in as well in goal, that really, our Achilles heel last year really was, we did play well, some great stuff at times. Conceding goals was a huge problem we had, giving away goals. So for us to win games, we needed to score 3 goals to get a win. And you know, when you're doing that, you're in trouble. You're in trouble straight away. So that was one of the things to you know, stop giving away goals, individual errors, you know. So we want to get stronger at the back in defence and the goalkeeper as well. So that's what we've done.
Yeah, but how disappointing on the downside? How disappointing is it to have lost Ronan Manning to Galway?
Yeah, it's a big disappointment for us, but understandable as well. I mean, you know, where we're at the moment, we are getting better, I believe. We're on the right road, and we had to make sure that things were right off the pitch as well. You know, before I came in, Athlone were training in Dublin. You know, I couldn't believe it. Training in Dublin, Athlone Town, you couldn't get any buy-in from the people of Athlone. So now we've moved it all to Athlone last year, training on a fantastic surface, and it's great for the players. Ronan came in when other clubs probably, you know, wouldn't give him a chance, and he came into us and did very well. So, he wants to play professional football. He wants to play in every day, and fair play to him. We couldn't offer him that yet. So, you know, he's gone to Galway, and the very best of luck to him. But, yeah, to replace him, it is going to be hard. But James Duna has hit the ground running, in fairness to him, and doing very well.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think James Duna probably got a bit lost at St. Pat's as well. Probably should have had more time on the pitch than he got. But the guys you've brought in, as you've already mentioned, Adam Wickstead. I think Killian Cantwell is a great signing for you, absolutely brilliant signing for you. Daniel McKenna as well, Micheál in the goal. So you're right, that spine of your team that you were probably missing last year is there now. And it's going to mean a very, very exciting Athlone Town team next year, despite losing the one player that everybody knows. But the guys you brought in are really, really good and really exciting.
You're spot on there, and I miss Dan McKenna there, who's a, you know, just missed a small bit with injury. We've Jack Watson there as well. Small little niggles at the start of the season, so they've been out. We haven't seen much of them yet, but they're to come in. And you're right. We look towards the bench last season, you know, to make changes, and you're saying, oh, look, we brought young lads up from the 19s who were fantastic for us, absolutely fantastic. But we just wanted to blood them and put them in and take them out. But unfortunately, they did so well, they did better than the players we had, so we had to leave them in there, you know, and it just came a cropper in the end, really. The last 20 minutes of games or the last half of the season, you know, they did get tired, they did tire on us, you know, so it was a big thing. And in fairness to Ronan, he did carry us a small bit towards, you know, in games. And, you know, we do feel now, even in training is now way better. The standard is huge. It's been pushed by these players who are fantastic professionals and really demand. The demand from the whole club, from everyone, has hugely risen up. And that's where you want to be. I do feel we've moved on to another level now, and we need to keep pushing here. But what you're saying is right as well. The first division this year, maybe it was last year, you'd be saying yes, you know, but you're looking at the teams, you know, you have Shelburne, you have Cork City coming down, you know, which is unbelievable. You know, you have Galway going full-time, Bray Wanderers strong there as well, and UCD always good, like, you know, hard, tough nut to crack. So it is going to be very hard for us. We're under no illusions about that. It is going to be very hard.
Yeah, Adrian, I hate having to bring up the ghosts of the past, but you spoke to us on the podcast last year. I think it was after the Cup quarterfinal win over Shelburne and obviously before Dundalk, and the defeat in the Cup semi-final to Dundalk 11-0. For the people involved with Dundalk and yourself and the players and everybody who's so enthusiastic about Athlone, a club which at the time we were talking about the great tradition that Athlone has over the years in the Midlands, you know, St. Mel's Park, the old days, etc., etc. How hard after that defeat to Dundalk was it to get things going again, to re-energise the players who must have been absolutely floored after that defeat?
And it was unfortunate. A couple of key things that, you know, went against us in the build-up to the game. We were 4 weeks without a match, which really, the guys, you know, we all know, if you're not playing games leading into a big game like that, you're under pressure. You can't, you know, recreate that in training, really. You try your best, but it doesn't really work. Games is the only way to prepare for games. And we just felt we were left short with that. Injuries too as well, and a couple of suspensions for us kills us with the small squad. Whereas Dundalk, and in fairness to Dundalk, people said to me, oh, Dundalk should have taken it easy on you, maybe, whatever. I don't accept that at all. A professional team, you expect that. They never stop. They keep going. And it's just unfortunate. Our team wants, you know, I can tell you now, our game plan wants to sit in and sit into our half and press them when they commit to our half. We didn't do that. Not to give away an early goal. Unfortunately, we didn't do that either. We didn't stop them getting early goals. And that set us back. You had boys dreaming of the Aviva in the lead-up to the game. And then all of a sudden, you're 2-0 down. you know, after 5 or 6 minutes. So it is very tough. It was tough to come back. But look, you know, it was a day of learning for us all. And, you know, we did manage to go in and chat with them and pick them up. The goalkeeper, Paddy, came in. We were stuck. Our two of our keepers were out. So he stepped in, having not played for us. And we got him speaking to a psychologist beforehand and afterwards as well. And he's a strong guy. He's a bit young at the moment. He's still involved with us. But he'll go back and play with the 19s now. And he'll be back again. I'm sure he'll have a great career ahead of him. But it was just too much to ask for him. But in fairness to him, fair play to him for stepping up for us and helping us out. But yeah, Adrian, I suppose a long-winded answer. It was tough to take at the time, tough to move on from it. But us more than any team, I suppose, are dying just to get back on the pitch now again and proving that we've moved on. You know, that we are progressing.
I recall, because I was there on the night, I recall you speaking to the players on the pitch after the game. And I was kind of intrigued as to what you might be saying to them at the time. Maybe you can share a little bit of what you were saying to them. But as well as that, I'm just wondering for you yourself, you know, that Sunday night and the next couple of days that followed after that defeat, how hard were those days for you?
Personally, you take everything personal. You know, you go question yourself, and I believe that reflection is huge part of management. And Pat will tell you there, home at all to hear, you know, very experienced man, I'll tell you all about it. But it was tough to take, I have to say. I had to go back and look at things and look at where we're going, you know. But the players for us were fantastic. We were, as I said, we're late coming. We kind of got a few players that, let's be honest, that other teams probably didn't want or had let go, and they helped us. They did a great job for us. But then you're up against a team that's playing in Europe, still fighting out. Just played the last couple of games in the league, coming to a cup semi-final. But you know, playing Arsenal in Europe and having games to keep going on are professional. So it was a tough ask. So you know, although it didn't go well, I think everything the same the hits went in. We did help them in a good few of those goals as well. I will add, but. They did a great. They didn't get themselves down, and they never give up. You know, you look at the goals going in, and I suppose you're drawing small things like that, Adrian, to just give them a little boost going off, because it was the end of the season, and just thank them. That's basically what I was doing, is thanking them for what they did, their commitment to our loan, and really, you know, putting on the jersey, the famous blue, you know, blue and black. They represented with pride. You know, I know it was a hard night at the office, but just it was important to let it go, get over for them. But you're right, it took me a while. You know, it's still a bit in the back of your mind. I'm trying to make sure that you never get caught there again, you know, where you're looking on the bench and saying, there's not really much you can do here, you know. So it's a tough one, and I say still not fully over it yet.
Yeah, Pat, just on that, you know, for young lads and for, you know, what was largely a young team, you know, that kind of defeat, having to cope with it. You know, you were fortunate, you were a natural born winner, but I'm sure you had the down days as well, who are on the receiving end of a heavy defeat.
Oh, listen, loads of them down days. Like a Scottish Cup final hammering by your local rivals is hard to get over, to be honest. And like Adrian says, you probably never really get over them, because you're always questioning yourself as well. I think it's a little bit different. I think, in fairness to Athlone, going into that game, you know, I think the fact that they'd done so well against Shells had given probably, you know, not being overcritical, but a false view for people to think that they would give Dundalk a proper game. And in fairness, and Dundalk on the night were exceptional. You know, they just kept their foot in the pedal and then kept going. But I think Adrian's point is important, that it's reflection and how you see things after that and how you make things better. You know, and, you know, I've been impressed with what Athlone have done in the off season. You know, I'm from an era where, you know, following Rovers and seeing the good Athlone team in the early 80s, and then obviously playing with Pats early in the late 80s at a decent enough side as well, and going to St. Mel. So again, it's another club that you want to see do well. We know it's a football town and the supporters will come out there if they can put a decent side together, you know. So the more teams we have around the country, you know, performing, and particularly in football towns like Athlone. Athlone reminds me a little bit of Sligo. If they get going, they've got, you know, real good support, you know, so it would be good to see them back up to where I seen them previously, you know. But I think they made some really good signings. You know, I did have James doing it, you know, and James for me is a player that now, you know, hopefully he's found a club where he can find himself, because it took James out of St. Pat's Schoolboys to Rovers, and, you know, huge potential. you know, good attitude to the game as well, but he hasn't really settled down anywhere and played. So it's a good move for him to get himself playing as well. And they've made some astute signs. And I can tell you, that first division is going to be a tough league. You know, I've looked through the teams in it, and people are pointing at Cork and Galway and Shells, but there's some other nuts to crack in that league, and it's going to be really interesting to see who comes out of it.
Absolutely. And Adrian as well, adding spice to it, the arrival. Pat mentioned the tradition there of Athlone Town, but Treaty United representing the Limerick area, the Shannon region. Good to see a team from that area back in League of Ireland football, isn't it?
For sure, guys. You know yourselves, it's an area that's produced some fantastic players right down since the start of football, you know. So it needed to be there. We need a strong league, lads. We need teams outside of Dublin, you know, further afield. We need all corners of the country covered to make the league better and stronger. So I'm delighted to see Treaty back in. Whatever guys, Limerick are back in, it's Treaty United. And look, they will get stronger, no doubt, and they will be a success in the long run. I think it will be a success, and we need it to make the league better. We need all these teams, these soccer towns having teams.
Okay, well, listen, we leave it there. Many thanks and the best of luck with the season ahead. That's Adrian Carberry, the Athlone Town manager. Lads, we leave it there. Many thanks as ever. Thanks to Pat Fennell and also to James O'Toole. Until the next one, from us all, bye-bye.